Good morning and welcome into Peach Talk. This is our town. And on the telephone interview today, we have a voice that if you were around WKLF way back, you might recognize this voice, and I'm sure you'll recognize the family name here in Chilton County. I've got on the phone with me all the way from over in the beautiful state of Georgia, Mr. Alton Harris, better known to folks around here as Curtis. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing just awesome. Curtis, I guess, is the oldest living WKLF DJ that I can think of. I don't know if we got anybody else. I'm not saying you're old, Kurt, but you're the one that's hung in there the longest from some of the earlier WKLF DJs, and you were around WKLF for quite a while. In fact, you and both your brothers worked here way back when.
That's correct. I was in there, and started in somewhere in the, well, the first time I was on the radio was with a group of high schoolers and Helen Parrish, and we had a session on cheating at high school. But anyway, that was somewhere in the 48-49 range, right after WKLF came on the air.
That was in the old studio downtown where WKLF went on in 1947. And if our information, it was either right before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving. Some people say 2 days before Thanksgiving. Some said the day before Thanksgiving. Some said the day after Thanksgiving. So I'm not sure there's really nobody around that can verify that for us anymore unless you can.
I don't remember exactly, no.
But anyway, that's close enough. You know, Thanksgiving plus or minus a day. And signed on the studio. The transmitter's always been here where it's at now on Highway 22. And the studio back then when it signed on in November of 1947 was upstairs there on in downtown Clanton right there on 2nd Avenue. And I'm not sure if the store that was downstairs in 47 was Levine's Dry Goods or not, but I know later on in the 50s it was.
Well, it was then, too, that I remember.
Okay. What's amazing to me, Curtis, is I had the opportunity the other day to go in that building. And upstairs in that building, believe it or not, everything is, I'm not going to say it's just like it was, because it's not just like it was, but the rooms, the studio layout, there's no glass in the windows, but the walls are still there. There's no doors in the doorway, but the layout for the studio is still there where the main studio was and production studios, and the big open area where the stage was, the stage is still there.
Well, I just want to let you know, I saw that you had given out to the internet, and it was a nice remembrance for that. Studio.
Yeah, we got a chance to go in there and shot some video on my phone. I want to get back in and shoot some, get some light and some better studio. No, we had to do that with a flashlight up there. And so we're going to try to get back and get back in there and get a little better pictures and a better studio. Well, I was just amazed. It's almost like stepping into a time machine.
Yeah, that was an amazing place, especially for Clanton in that day and time.
Well, that was the latest technology that you could get in 1947. Radio was kind of in its infancy, and a lot of folks didn't have radio, and there were very, very few TVs. Well, I don't know if TV was even been until in the 50s, so I guarantee there wasn't a TV in Chilton County in 1947, and probably not too many radios. But of the three brothers, you, Jimmy, and Elmer, who went to work for WKLF first?
I did. But the one who really, from the family sense, that led us into it was Jim Popwell, James Popwell. He became an announcer there on WKLF.
James was one of the earlier DJs. I think he was probably one of the very first ones on in the early 40s while it was still upstairs there downtown, correct?
Yeah, I believe he was. Between he and Buck Littleton, I believe.
So Yeah, I remember Buck. I never met James. I don't guess as a radio personality, but I do remember Buck when I first started in radio. Buck was still hanging around, hanging in there. So you had opportunity to work with quite a few folks down through time. When you went to work with WKLF, it was after the studio moved from upstairs downtown when you actually went to work with the station, and the studio was here on Highway 22. Best we can tell, it moved from downtown to here in 1950, and you were a little bit later than that when you started. What year was it when you started at KLF?
I started doing a few things in 52, and then got on pretty good time-wise in 53, and of course graduated in 54. My first move out there was during the, my trips out there started in the 40s while Lester Carter was the engineer between he and Grady, his brother. They had a little place out there where the studio is now, but it was a different building there. I think it was closer to the road than where the transmitter is now. But I remember going out there for some of our radio amateur radio meetings with Lester and Grady.
So that was before the present building it was built. And so that would have been, before 50, because we were in question when it actually moved out here. And I did find some FCC records where they got approval to move the transmitter on the same site from one building to another. That was kind of back when you had to have the FCC's permission to sneeze just about back then. We found that. So you actually was that the building the transmitters were actually in? Was it just a building, administrative type space for Lester?
Well, I remember the transmitter was in one end of it. And of course at that time there was an engineer on duty all the time that the transmitter was on the air.
Yeah, back then.
And that was.
Yeah, back in the early days of radio, there had to be an engineer on duty, and all the operators had to be licensed by the FCC. I know when I started back in the late 60s, I had to have an FCC license to be here by myself. You could be here as long as somebody licensed was here, but if you were here by yourself, you had to have at least that third-class phone license, and the station had to have a first-class license on staff. A lot of the things have been deregulated now from there, but that was. And of course, you were in it back when you had to do the logs every 30 minutes as well, take all the readings and record everything on a log sheet.
Yes, and Mary Culp and Helen Parrish were there to make sure that we signed those logs and that we followed their instructions on what to say and when, and everything was written down on paper.
Yeah, I remember the old paper logs, and you had the transmitter log, you had to take the readings on every 30 minutes, and the program logs told you every program that came on. You just didn't write down the songs that you played, but you had to know what program was on and what kind of music was supposed to be being played during that time. All those good old days. Of course, you were in the better days than I was. Now, so you came out, and then I guess who was next from the family? Was it Elmer or Jimmy that wound up out here first?
Elmer came out, and then Jimmy followed.
It's Elmer's. I think it was Elmer's second job, wasn't it?
Yes. He was with a printing outfit, Liebold Printing, I believe it was.
That's right. That's right.
That he worked.
He worked for Lebo, and I think he worked for Dairy Queen before he worked for KLF. When we did our 70th anniversary, we were blessed that Elmer was still alive then, and he was here, and we did a long interview, and I think we had you on the telephone with us while we were doing that.
Yes, you did, and all three of us, me, Elmer, and Jimmy, worked at the Dairy Queen, and the Dairy Queen was partly owned by James Popwell's father, Newt Popwell, who was a Coca-Cola distributor there in Clanton.
Yeah.
So my connection not only came through Jim Popwell, but also the Dairy Queen, and it was just it was a nice walk-in. I walked in, Dairy Queen first, then to the radio station. Elmer came, Dairy Queen, the radio station, and then Jimmy to the radio station. And all of that followed by my first job being a Yellow Front store.
And that was located where?
Right toward the railroad from where Levine's and the radio station were there in Clanton.
Yeah, right down the street. Okay. You mentioned a couple of names from history of WKLF and some names that people that I knew around town. Miss Mary Cupp was here for years and years and years. And then Miss Helen Parrish, you mentioned her. I think they were part of the original staff. I know Helen was the original staff when it was downtown and signed on in 47. Was Mary downtown, or did she come on after it moved out here?
I do not remember. The remembrance I have of Helen was because of going up there and being in that group, but I do not remember other people at over Levine's except for Marion Easterlin and Preacher Atchison.
I think those two
went up the steps to open up WKLF about the same time.
Yeah, that's what we understand. Our historian, which we lost last year, was Lel Sanford, and Lel had talked with the Marion's widow, Miss Agnes, before she passed away, and got some information, and that was our understanding that Marion and Mr. Atchison, Hyman Atchison, were the first ones to buy time on WKLF, and the story is they walked up the stairs together the day that it signed on, and that's when Marion started America's Favorites, which is still going on WKLF, and earned his place in the Guinness Book of Records for the longest-running daily gospel radio program in the world. And so we still carry that tradition on here, and we also understand the story that, Marion started his program with the Blackwood Brothers song, Give the World a Smile. And we understand that that was a recommendation to him from Hyman Atchison.
Oh, okay. Well, that was certainly the song he used.
And actually, I'm blessed to still have the original copy that he used of that record. We got to get it framed in a shadow box and get it on the wall about here. Other people that you worked with down through time when you were here, because you were here on up until you were here into the 60s, weren't you, or did you leave in late 50s?
I left in 61.
All right, other people that you worked with besides Helen Parrish and Miss Mary Cupp and Lester Carter, name of, and of course your two brothers, Jimmy and Elmer. Who else was on staff here back in your days in the early 50s that you worked with?
Well, the one that hired me was Leland Hudson, and Leland was the manager there for the Robinsons.
Yeah, the station was originally owned by, I think it was Kelly Robinson, I think was the name, the one name that I've seen on some of the paperwork way back. And so Leland was the station manager. I know we've got some pictures that's got you and a few of the guys in it around. So some of the other DJs that you work with, besides Leland as station manager, some other DJs you work with, give us some names of some of those, Kurt.
Well, I remember Bill Hayes was out there for a while.
Most everybody remembers Bill Hayes from the barbershop here in town.
You're right. I guess one of the other one that really stands out was the bald-headed milkman.
Mr. Billy Lawrence.
And that was Billy Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy was, and I didn't know this until after I bought into the station. At one time, Billy was one of the owners, or co-owner of WKLF.
Billy, he's the one that took the morning show for Marion's time when Marion decided to get out and just stay with the noontime kind of gospel hour.
And he kept that up until his death. And then his wife picked it up after that up until her death. And then Leo picked it up until his death. And Rob's filling in that slot now. So that show's been going on a long, long time in the morning, as well as the America's Favorites in the noontime.
The situation there with, you mentioned Billy and his program picking up Marion. Billy had a nice helper when he was in his show who continued, yes, and you're right, it was his wife.
Willadine was her name, but everybody knew her as the little woman because that's what Billy called her.
Right, and he started that on the show when she'd be there and they'd have a little discussion once in a while, and it was the little woman.
Yeah. Well, you had an interesting career, not only here at WKLF, but I think you had a career that kind of sparked off maybe from WKLF. I remember you telling me the teletype machine that we used to have here from Associated Press, which we used to get all the news and weather and everything off of. You kind of made a contact with some folks with, was it Western Electric or South Central Bell back then, as they were working on that machine, and I think it got you a door open to another career.
Yeah, it was the parent company, AT&T, that handled the teletype service for all of the stations around, and that was the number you had to call when you had a problem. And of course, us being away from the main city area, we had a few down times. And one time I called down there to Montgomery to the AT&T board, and the guy said, "Why do you call me all the time?" And I said, "Well, I wouldn't if you had me a job down there." And that led into me getting into AT&T long lines and going for a career there and later on retiring from that. But the main reason that happened is because of working with Lester and Grady and the Carter boys here in Clanton. Lester talked me into going and getting my engineering license. So in 58 was when I finally had studied and got my first-class radio telephone engineering license. And AT&T was requiring that because of their microwave routes that were going through. So based on WKLF and my background there, I was able to get into the AT&T and start working on the AT&T microwaves and installing those things across the south part of it.
And Lester also got you into a real good hobby, too, with amateur radio. I know you you've enjoyed that down through the years. That's also one of my hobbies, and a lot of folks have that hobby, and sometimes that hobby turns into work, or work turns into the hobby. But, Lester and a lot of the older hams around Clanton encouraged a lot of young folks to get into the hobby of radio.
That was one of the big things that I think was a big hit for some of us teenagers around Clanton, as well as several of us there in the in high school in the grade there, because from that study came a audio visual club there in the school area where we set up and showed the movies and set up the speaker systems and that kind of thing for the teachers. So it's led to quite a interesting lifetime, as well as what you said, the amateur radio. That is fantastic. And here in North Fulton, our amateur radio club now, well, number one, back when first got here, there was a few of us meeting around in the early 80s. But now the club has a little over 300 members, so we're sort of proud of amateur radio over here, too.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good club there. Amateur radio, a lot of people, you know, we talk and have a good time, but, you know, when a disaster strikes somewhere and the first communications usually in or out of any disaster area comes from ham radio operators, and ham's our nickname for amateur radio, which is the service that the FCC provides. And it's built around emergency communications, and back during the war and stuff, a lot of phone patches were done before cell phones, and somebody needed to overseas would want to talk to family members. It was done through ham operators, and I imagine you did a few of those phone patches back in the day.
Oh, yes. That was a big thing for us, to be able to get a call from somebody that was overseas in service, or, you know, and to be able to do the patch to let them talk to their folks landline-wise. And there, a lot of that is going on present day, even with what's happening with that, our present-day activity of the earthquake overseas.
And that's one thing, you know, we've got cell phones now, and everybody's spoiled because, you know, they've got a cell phone in their pocket. But when you got a disaster, earthquake, or a hurricane, or a volcano eruption, and flood or something goes on, all those cell phone towers, they go down, although they, you know, they're got a lot of reliability, but they will go down. And amateur radio is practiced and prepared to get in real quick and set up temporary antennas and be up and running on the air to get emergency information in and out, and health and welfare messages are a big part of that. And of course, you well know that it's a long, long time, Ham. You've had your ham license a lot longer than I have, but anyway, that's great that, you know, and I remember, you know, Lester and Grady, they were real big in Clanton and amateur radio way back in the 50s.
Yeah. That was really a good time to get involved with it, because it was back when you was building your little receivers and transmitters out of individual parts and being able to service them after you built them. And now it's a little bit different trying to repair some of this new stuff.
Yeah, it's all throwaway stuff now, and nobody builds their own equipment anymore, but in the earlier days,
some of us do.
I still build some little projects, but not the big ones that that we used to do way back. Well, you know, this week, in fact, the day this program airs on Friday morning will be February the 10th, and February the 10th is the day that the FCC granted the license to WKLF. Went on the air, and as we said, around Thanksgiving, but that was done with what was now called a construction permit. Then I think it was called a program test authority. But the actual official day that we turn 75 is it's going to be today. It's an honor to have you on the airwaves 75 years after it all started.
Well, I certainly appreciate the guidance that I've had from a lot of the music that we played, that Marion played and started out, and of course me growing up in down in around Maple Springs Baptist Church, you know. And
well, go ahead and say
and
it.
With Plateau. All of the time there.
Yeah, go ahead and say it now. Plateau.
Go ahead.
I say, go ahead and say it. Plateau.
Yeah. Plateau. Yes. So down around that area, but the many preachers and ministers and the ability that was allowed us to provide those church services, you know, a lot of that is great guidance that I appreciate having had the opportunity. of knowing the good Lord and letting him guide me, and still here. And thank you for the time that you are giving to it and expanding it the way you are, with so much entertainment as well as information for our home state of Alabama and the Chilton County, as well as the world.
Well, Curtis, I appreciate you joining us for This Is Our Town, because you're definitely a part of our town. You're still a resident of Clanton. You still have property here and maintain a home here and spend some time here from time to time. We always look forward to you coming out and visiting with us when you're in Clanton and spending some time in Clanton. We're as we said, today marks the 75th anniversary, and we're going to celebrate that this Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 o'clock. So anybody that's listening in needs to come out between 2 and 4, and we'll have some cake and some Big Bo's barbecue sliders and chips and drinks. And since it's 75, you know what the 75th anniversary is, don't you, Curtis?
I done seen it on your information.
It's the diamond.
How do you get to be a diamond?
It's the diamond anniversary. 75 is the diamond anniversary. You know, gold is 50th, but diamond is 75. And we're going to be giving away to some lucky winners of some diamonds. We've got some folks that have gathered us together a nice selection of stuff that we're going to be giving away. So you want to come out and register. You don't have to be here to win, but you have to register to win. So you got to come out to register, unless you're one of those folks that pre-qualified by calling in when we gave opportunity to do that. So we're looking forward to a good time Sunday afternoon. Looks like the Lord's going to bless us with a beautiful afternoon, and I sure was hoping you were going to be able to make it over.
Well, I was hoping I would too, but it looks like I may not be able to, but I plan to before too much longer, because I want to get back over there and spend some time with y'all. You and your helpers are really doing a great job for allowing WKLF to continue and expand.
Well, Rob and I, when Rob King and myself bought WKLF back and bought it back to be a local owned radio station again, we said we're going to get back involved in the community and do what radio station has done for that 75 years it's been here. And so thank you for those comments, and we're trying hard. We're short staffed to be able to do what we want to do, and of course, anything you do this day and time, it takes that almighty dollar as well, but we're plugging along at it one baby step at a time. Well, Curtis, we about used up our time, buddy, and I appreciate you spending a little time with us to talk with us and reminisce about WKLF and some of the history behind WKLF, and we look forward to seeing you next time you're over this direction. Don't be a stranger.
Well, I appreciate that, and something else that just passed through my mind, we've talked about people that had been on the radio that did things from there. There was a guy from over around Maplesville called Fred Kelly, who had a program there on WKLF, and it was a very successful program for him, and he continued on in the radio business by going to Pell City and starting a station over there. So there's you another away from Clanton possibility that has occurred because of WKLF.
Yep. All right. Well, of course, everybody remembers your brother Elmer, who went on to be the president of Alabama Power Company, and Jimmy's done well as well. So a lot of folks, it's amazing to me the folks that have passed through these doors as the part-time or full-time job and moved on elsewhere and made success out of it. Well, Curtis, once again, thank you so much for joining us on Peach Talk. And
let me mention one other.
Go ahead.
The person who had the station and was my manager and a great guy was Jack Dennis.
Oh, yes.
And we didn't mention him, but yeah, I wanted to let you know he was...
Yeah, Jack purchased the station when the Kellys sold it, and I think it was around 61, about the same time you left, not long after Jack came on the scene. But Jack is the one that gave me my start part-time, and we've got his picture in the lobby, and I think about him quite often when I walk by and see that picture. Jack was a good guy. He was always great to me, and he spent a lot of time out here with WKLF and keeping it going. Most of the history that I am familiar with it was under Jack's reign of it. And I never was here when the Kellys had it. But I appreciate you mentioning that, because I do need to mention that. And, of course, like I say, the folks that come out Sunday afternoon can go around in the lobby. We've got a lot of pictures up. We even got old Kurt's picture up out there.
Well, let's make sure. I know you've mentioned him, but the guy that has really kept WKLF going for a long time is a fellow named Leo, a fantastic person. I really enjoyed being a friend of his.
We miss Leo every day. Leo was my encourager. And Leo was one of the two people in this world that I've known that I would have to say was the most content people with what the Lord had given. And they were a good example. Right. He was a good example to us, and we miss him every single day. But
yes.
All right, I appreciate you mentioning that. And thank you again for joining us, and we're going to wrap it up. I appreciate everybody tuning in to Peach Talk. We do this every Friday morning from 8 o'clock till 8:30 or thereabouts, and then we rerun it on Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m. So we appreciate you tuning in. Kurt, appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate everybody listening to Peach Talk. This is our town.